Hello and welcome back to Cycling World, your cycling informant. Today it's another betting podcast and we're going to look at Milan-San Remo, the first monument of the year taking place on Saturday over in Italy. Last time I was on it was Strada Bianchi and it turns out the strategy of not going for Van der Poel, Wout van Aert or Alaphilippe wasn't the right one. Maybe I'll have to change my strategy for this race. Anyway, onwards and upwards. The route, nothing to talk about. Could you believe that some idiot has a preview online that's 54 minutes long? My goodness, I don't even think I'll watch the race for 54 minutes. Same route as usual. We have the Cipressa, about 20k from home, 30k from home. Pace goes high on the Cipressa to try and put some sprinters under pressure. Nobody attacks, nobody ever attacks anymore because there's far too many domestiques. So then the race goes to the Poggio. Doesn't look like much, but after 290 kilometres of racing, it feels like Mount Everest. Then we have a flying descent before a flat finish of about 3 kilometres. Number one thing to look at here is the weather. So it's going to be a nice day, temperatures kind of about 10 to 13 degrees for the most of it, but the wind is the most important. Starts out nice and calm, nothing to really speak of, but by the time the riders hit the Poggio, that is when interesting things are starting to happen. Now, different forecasts are suggesting different things. At the start of the week, it was a massive headwind, but the wind seems to have died a little. Now, what I'm using is VeloView, but also I'm using a lovely little add-on that they've got, which is My Windsock, which basically you can upload your ride and it'll tell you the wind speed at every point along the route and the type of wind that you're facing, which is absolutely phenomenal, if you ask me. Okay, so as they come on to the Poggio, same as usual, massive fight. To be at the front, you need to be in the front, kind of 10 wheels. It's really hard to move up on the Poggio, so position at the bottom is really important. You'll see teams drag racing. It used to be Kwiatkowski who used to do this. He would just sit at the back, and you're thinking, what's happening here? He's not feeling good. He's sitting at the back, and all of a sudden, with about a kilometre to go, he gets a full sprint lead out. Bam, he's right at the front. Last year, Wout van Aert did the same. If you remember back, camera focused in on him almost at the start of the Poggio. He looked not very well. And then the next thing you knew, bam, right at the front. You don't need to control the last kind of 5Ks up to that point. You can hang at the back with your team. And if you time it properly, you can get to the front at the exact time. Riders who famously don't get positioned very well here. Number one, Greg Van Avermaet. That's one of the reasons why he's never won this race. Now, as they go up the Poggio, my weather app is telling me that it's going to be a headwind. It's not going to be a monster headwind. It's just going to be a kind of small headwind at the beginning. As it swings around and it starts to get more exposed, I'm seeing a headwind of about 14 kilometres per hour. Now, you will know the Poggio has a couple of changes of direction. So the kind of main first section before we get the first kind of big switchback is quite a strong headwind. After the first switchback, we then have a tailwind. But this section is relatively short because you have another switchback just around the corner. And then, bam, we're straight back into a headwind of about 10 to 20 kilometres per hour. Now, I am speaking to you on Thursday evening. Obviously, a lot can change weather-wise between now and Saturday night is when the race will be hitting the Poggio. But I'm seeing a headwind up the early slopes of the Poggio. Then you go onto the big long straight section and I'm seeing a headwind which is a little bit less and quite a strong side wind, 19 kilometre per hour side wind. It's going to be quite a slow climb compared to what we've normally seen. Normally what happens is near the top, with maybe about a kilometre to go, sometimes even less than that, that's when we see the big attacks, that's when the sprinters get put into difficulty, and that's when the race is decided. We have a big headwind. Will we see the same sort of attacks like we usually do? My natural instinct is to say, no you won't, because it's almost suicide trying to attack into a strong headwind. Matthew van der Poel, what is he going to do? Will he go for it, despite there's a headwind? I mean, he's strong enough. Will he play the clever game? Will he wait for a sprint finish? Van der Poel is a very fast sprinter. In my head, it makes sense for him to wait, but I'm not Van der Poel. Sometimes he gets a little bit impatient. If he does attack, who's going to follow? Will Van Aert take the risk and the gamble that it comes back together, or will he follow his nemesis up the hill? If you follow, if you attack, there's no way you're winning a sprint finish. That's a debate that Van Aert will have to think about. Then we've got Alaphilippe. So we've got the three musketeers, Van der Poel, Van Aert, Alaphilippe. I think it's been taking me a couple of stages, a couple of races to work these guys out. I think I have now worked out their strengths and weaknesses riding against each other in such big races. How I see it is as follows. Van Aert is the best in the flat. Okay, if it's a bunch sprint, Van Aert can win it. Stage one of Tirreno Adriatico, won a bunch sprint, beat Caleb Ewan. He is exceptionally fast. If you are sprinting up a hill, Van der Poel. So he showed in his sprint win, uphill sprint, he is faster than Van Aert in that type of finish. Alaphilippe, once we get a longer climb, that's when he normally comes into his own. So look to his stage win in Tirreno. It was a longer climb. To be fair, if Van der Poel was better positioned, he would have still lost. So Alaphilippe likes a kind of longer slope. Will Alaphilippe go with the two of them and then refuse to work because Bennett's in the peloton? We'll have to wait and see. I'm not too sure Alaphilippe's that type of rider. And to be honest, looking at him in Tirreno, does he have the form? There's some question marks there. So those are your kind of three main attackers, I would imagine, or possibly not, depending on the weather conditions. Then we've got the sprinters. Of all the sprinters, there are only three in my mind who can win this. Sam Bennett, who is in the form of his life. He usually doesn't go very well here because it's a big hill. Okay? He's a big rider. After 290 kilometres, it's a shift for him to go over the Poggio. Caleb Ewan has been better here before. I think he was second on debut. He is a smaller rider, so laws of physics suggest that it's easier for him to get over the Poggio in the front group. Bad news for Ewan fans was that he had to pull out Tirreno because he was sick. He doesn't have that racing in his legs, so there's a slight question mark about Caleb Ewan just now. And then we've got Michael Matthews. Michael Matthews, who always goes well here. The problem that Matthews usually finds is that he is not good enough going up the Poggio compared to the real attackers, and he's not quite fast enough to win a bunch sprint compared to Ewan and Bennett. He always seems to fall in between. Can his team Bike Exchange make the race have a different outcome, one that he wins? I don't know, but for me, he is the consistent sprinter. You could go Ballerini and take a risk. If Bennett gets dropped, Ballerini comes into play. Demar's not got the form, let's be honest. Now, some of you love a long shot. I want to just pick out a couple at long odds who would interest me if I was going for that strategy. However, the headwind would also put me off. Nibali, 80-1. Loves attack on the Poggio. Bettiol, 100-1. Not tremendous form yet this season, but the final TT in Tirreno suggested that his legs are actually not too bad and he's good at a long distance race. Jasper Stuyven, 200-1. Olli Naesen, 200-1. All four of those riders, I think, will give you a shouting chance if that's what you're interested in. But that's not for me. So how am I approaching the race from a betting point of view? I am going for a 10-point limit. And I think if you're going for a 10-point limit, you simply have to pick either Van der Poel or Van Aert as your main bet. I would be amazed at people who don't do this. Now, despite everything that Van der Poel achieved at Tirreno, I actually think Van Aert's performance was even better, which is strange because not many people are actually saying that. He won a bunch sprint. He won a TT against Ghana. He climbed better in the two stages overall than every other climber in the race apart from Pogacar. And let's be honest, nobody can climb better than Pogacar. Van Aert's performance in Tirreno was out of this world. It's a flat finish. Van Aert, for me, is better than Van der Poel. I'm taking 5 points on Wout Van Aert. He's currently 3-1. I think I got 4-1 when I put a bet on last week. Then I'm looking at my other 5 points and wondering how to split it. Now, I'll be honest, I placed this bet before Tirreno, so I probably wouldn't do it now. But I'm a loyal old dog. I went with Caleb Ewan. I went 3 points on Ewan. I think I got 20-odd to 1, which I thought at the time was crazy value, especially when the long-range forecast was saying headwind on the Poggio. I think you take either Bennett or Ewan as your next main bet, and I would go 3 points on either of them. Bennett 12-1, that's a decent bet. As I said, he is in the form of his life. And then I've got 2 points to play with. So I'm going with Mr. Consistent. I'm going with Michael Matthews at 16-1 to see if he can somehow manage to be better than the sprinters and better than the punchers. It's not going to be easy for him, but he's such a consistent rider here and his legs are good. We saw in Paris-Nice in that really hilly stage, he was excellent. So those are my picks. A lot of people will disagree and think Van Der Poel's stronger than Van Aert, but hey, that's what cycling is all about. It's all about discussing and disagreeing and arguing. Hope you enjoy this. As usual, give it a wee review, give it a wee rating, and I'll see you on the next one.